Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 14. They remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. So be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. So we saw some attributes of a disciple or of the disciple of Christ in presenting Bible truth. We said he or she must be diligent. He or she must be diligent. He or she must understand the fact that Bible truth must not be presented in a rush or anyhow. Hallelujah. That he or she should know he is a laborer. And as a laborer, he must present Bible truth truthfully. Hallelujah. So we began talking about the Passover table. The Passover table. And we said that the Passover is not instituted by Christ. Rather, Jesus partook of the Passover. Right? It was instituted by Moses. Was instituted by Moses. And Jesus partook of it. Neither did he ask us to take Passover. So on the Passover table, we said we are going to see what? On the communion table, on the Passover table, we are going to see what? The unleavened bread. Which signifies there is no sin in the camp. And you see the Pascha, the slain Pascha, the slain Passover, which shows them how God delivered them from the land of Egypt. Right? Okay, now let's proceed. When the Passover was instituted, there was no wine. Are you hearing me? When the Passover was instituted, there was no wine. We said the wine was not added until later on. And what was added? I mean, the wine was not added when the Passover was instituted. But later on, they added the wine, the cups of the Passover. I hear me? They actually had four cups. We'll get to see that shortly. Look at Matthew 26, verse 17. To 19. Now, on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, Where would thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and said to him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. So when he heard they made ready the Passover, what did they do? They made ready the unleavened bread and got the Paschal lamb. Right? Right? Okay, hallelujah. Mark 14:12. He says, and the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, the disciples said to him, where would thou go? Where would thou that will go prepare for thee, that thou mayest eat the Passover? So something was killed. You prepare it by killing it. You prepare the Passover by what? Killing it.
when he went to prepare the Passover, I mean, they killed something. Something was being killed. The wine was added to symbolize the blood of the Passover. It was not added by Moses, but it was added afterwards. We'll see when it was added. So, in Matthew 26, was the first time we heard Jesus comment about the Passover. Right? Though he has been taking it, but he has not said anything concerning it until Matthew 26, right? So that means we must pay attention closely to what he said. Hallelujah. So in paying attention to what he said, we're going to read everything. Matthew 26. We'll read from verse 17 to 30. Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where wilt thou that will prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say to him, The master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. And they made ready the Passover, meaning they killed the Passover, right? Right? Okay, let's proceed. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they eat, he said, "Verily, as they eat," meaning they began to eat. Underline that in your Bible. Then he said, "Verily I say to you, that one of you shall betray me." And it was, and they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe to that man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said to him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Take note of that again. As they were eating. So meaning what Jesus did was aside. Do you understand me? They were eating. Jesus said unto them, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take it. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the wine, of the vine, until that day when I shall drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they went into the Mount of Olives. Take note of what Jesus said. Take note of verse 27 and 28 and 29. Hallelujah. Take note of 29 most especially. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine. Hallelujah. Now, verse 26 shows us that they were already eating before Jesus spoke up. So what Jesus did was not in line with Exodus 12 instruction. Do you understand me? What Jesus did will be, they were eating and he took the bread. They were already eating. So that means they are taking the bread before them. They are taking wine before them. Do you understand me? But in the midst of the meal, are you following me? I'm explaining something here. In the midst of the meal, what Jesus did was that he took bread. Do you understand me? So why would Jesus why would Jesus do that? So number one, it's not in line with the Exodus 12 practice, right? Right? It is not in tangent with it. So meaning Jesus was doing something else. Just like what he did in John chapter 2. Remember John 2? He got to the temple. He wanted to talk to them about his body. Right?
Yeah.
He went to the temple. He scattered and overthrew their tables. Hallelujah. I now told them, "Make not my Father's house
a house of merchandise. Right? Say, my father's house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So, just like what he will do, he will teach in an illustrative manner. He will go somewhere, and then, because he wants to teach concerning his body being a temple, he went into the temple. Did you get me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 20. Sorry, verse 27. And he took the cup. Meaning there is the cup. Take note of that. There is what? The cup. Verse 27. Let's look at Luke's explanation of this. Luke 22. Verse 14. Luke 22, verse 14. Remember, there is the cup, right? Look at verse 14. And when the hour has come, he sat down with the 12 apostles, with him, and he said to them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I said to you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Take note of that word. Until be fulfilled. We'll get to see this shortly. And he took the cup. Did you see that? He took what? The cup. And gave thanks and said, this, take this and divide it amongst yourself. I said to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after the supper. Say, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 17. He says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, divide it amongst yourself. In the midst of their eating, in the midst of that, he took cup and said, take, divide it. This will show you what Jesus is doing here is, because they were drinking it, they were eating from Matthew's account. They were already having the feast. So he took cup and he gave to them. Hallelujah. So it should tell you something, that Jesus is having a teaching meeting. Within the feast, he began to teach. John's account, we're going to look at John's account. John's account will help us see it clearly shortly. Are you hearing me? John did not mention anything about Passover, but John's account, what John wrote within this period, what John documented for us, would help us see that what Jesus had with them was a teaching meeting. Hallelujah. And we'll see that shortly. So if you look at verse 17, he said, he gave them the cup and said he will not drink it. Right? Right? Now look at verse 20. He also took cup again and blessed and gave it to them. Do you understand me? Likewise, he took cup again after the supper and blessed and gave it to them. This shows that there are more than one cup. Are you hearing me? There are more than one cup. And from Matthew's account, we saw that they've been eating and drinking before he spoke up. So that there are more than one cup. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. It says, the cup of blessing, which will bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is nothing, is anything, nor that which is offered to sacrifice, offered the sacrifice to idol is anything. But I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. But I know that you have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. So, this makes us see something. And that is the cup of blessing. Right? Say the cup of blessing which you bless. The Jewish custom makes us see that there are four cups. Jewish custom makes us see that there are four cups on the Passover table, which we have coined to be communion table. Pentecostals, we are wonderful. On that Passover table, the Pentecostals now. On that Passover table, we have four cups. We'll see that now. Exodus chapter 6. We have the judgment, salvation, redemption, and acceptance. Those are the cups. We have the judgment, the salvation, the redemption, and acceptance. So the cup of blessing, we'll see those, hallelujah, is part of those cups. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the cup of blessing will be the redemption. But let's look at it. Exodus 6, verse 6. Exodus 6, 6. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from the bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And with great judgment, I will take you as my people. I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, four cups. Let's read it together. Verse 6. I am, therefore, says to the children of Israel, I am the Lord God. I'll bring you from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you out of the burdens of the Egyptians. That is what? Judgment. Right? Judgment. I will bring you out. That is, that cup is called the Kiddush. Kiddush. He says, I will rescue you from their bondage. Right? Right? I will redeem you with another. Now, I will rescue you from their bondage is the second cup. Right? Salvation. I will rescue you. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will redeem you. It's called the redemption. That cup is called the Birkat. Birtkat. The last, which is verse 7. I will take you to me for a people. That is, I will take you. That is acceptance. I will take you. I will take you a nation. You understand me? And that is, you see, that is God's plan for them. So when they are on the Passover table, they remember this word. Remember, their mind was to cast back to Egypt. Right? Now this is Moses' message to them that they did not believe. We see that also shortly. Hallelujah. Now this was all God said to them. Hallelujah. So now, when Moses gave them this message, that God said he will redeem you. He will rescue you. Right? First of all, he will pass judgment on the land. He will rescue you. Salvation. Hallelujah. He will redeem you. And he will take you for a people. That is the word. To take you for a people is the acceptance. It's called the Halel. Halel. H-A-L-L-E-L. Halel. I will take you for a people. Now, that taking you for a people, listen, will be what God wants to do with them. Hallelujah. I will take you for a people, for a nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they will have these wines on the table. Are you hearing me? And they will take it one after the other. When they are not taking the last wine, they will sing a hymn, which we will see. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So in that Luke 22 verse 18, when he said to them, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now when he said he will not drink, remember they've been drinking. In fact, it's when they are done drinking the last that they will sing a hymn. And in the book of Matthew, they sang a hymn. Right? Now, Jesus used that cup figuratively. Now when he said, I will not drink it till unto the kingdom of God shall come. Listen, that is the last cup. And that is called the Alay, the cup of acceptance. Do you understand me? He said, I won't drink it with you now till the kingdom will come. Do you understand? The acceptance, what is the acceptance? I will make you a nation. The acceptance, the kingdom, think the kingdom, but the kingdom shall come. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is with man, is in man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember John chapter 14, verse 20? Hallelujah. Did you get that? That is the acceptance. The acceptance is the paracletos, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Did you get me? Are you following that? So when he said, I will not drink this with you until the kingdom of God shall come, he's talking about the resurrection. And that is the Alay. Do you understand me? And he used it to how? Figuratively. Did you get that? Did they later drink? They drank. Did you get that? They drank. But Jesus God was a teaching meeting. He would not say, I will not take this with you. So, once he said, I will not take this one with you, their mind was, this is their name, right? Their name, the kingdom. Did you get that? The kingdom. So, I will not take this, their name, to that will take you as a people. Tell us as a nation. Alay. You know, when he resurrected, their eyes were open. Was that the reason why he didn't take the Alay? You understand me? Because we are his people. Glory to God. I want you to follow that. Follow us.
Okay. Look at Matthew 26:30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Remember, after the Passover, they will sing a hymn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the hymn they will sing will come from Psalms 113 to Psalms 118. They will sing it. They will sing Psalm 113 into Psalm 114. Now, those things were not written in chapters. So they will sing it from Psalms 113 to Psalms 118. How we deliver them from Egypt with an outstretched hand. And as they are singing Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, it's about their redemption from Egypt. Hallelujah. Did Jesus sing the hymn with them? He did. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So the feast is in remembrance of the Exodus event, how God took them out of Egypt. So the Passover now, the Passover will involve the Passover lamb, the unleavened bread, and the cup which was added. Right? Right? Okay. So remember, this feast is celebrated every year and must be celebrated together. We said that earlier, right? It's not to be celebrated by one for his personal healing. Say, no, I want God to heal me. Let me now do communion. You on your own with yourself by yourself, plus yourself on yourself in yourself, will do communion. I want to get the possession. No. Our experience. Oh, but somebody said, well, sir, I took communion. When I took the communion on my own, I got healed.
Hallelujah.
There's something you need to know. When you begin to grow, you see, you know why I love Kenneth Hagin very well. If you read Kenneth Hagin's book, you see a whole lot of his experiences. But you know what Kenneth Hagin does? Kenneth Hagin's experiences are in line with scriptures. Are you hearing me? Your experiences does not explain scriptures. Scriptures explains your experiences. Do you understand? Are you hearing me? The fact that you took communion or you took bread and wine, you would have as well taken tea and bread. And it's still fine. You understand? See, listen. Faith for healing. We're going to look at that. Maybe towards
November next 2020. We're going to talk, discuss healing.
As we're going to be talking about healing, like a healing service. Hallelujah.
You know, faith for healing is different from faith for salvation. Are you hearing me?
They're different. So those that are, could I have faith now? And it didn't work. And I took
wine.
You could have taken baron, you'd still be fine.
Do you understand? Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So your experiences does not explain scriptures to you, but scripture should define what your experiences should be. Are you hearing me? So the Passover was started in Israel before the Old Testament, but was made known very well by the Old Testament, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at Matthew 26:26. We're looking at how Jesus, we have concluded that it was a teaching meeting. Right? So let's see how Jesus explained it. Let's see how Jesus explains it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now when he used the word "take, eat," this is my body, this is my blood, this is my body, he uses it as a figure of speech. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, "This is my blood which is shed for the what? New covenant." Right? Right? Are you sure you are reading your Bibles? I'm the only one with my Bible. Hallelujah. Verse 28. "This is my blood for the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins." So when he said "my blood for the new covenant," what is Jesus doing? Remember, he's using it as a figure of speech. He took the bread and said, "This is my body." Right? He took the cup and said, "This is my blood." Jesus did not, if Jesus had given them his blood literally, would they have drank? "I give you blood, you will drink." It's figure of speech. Do you understand it? It's figure of speech. Are you following me? If I give you blood, will you drink? So it was, it's figure of speech. If it is,
it's not blood.
So Jesus didn't give them his blood literally. Hallelujah. So it was a figure of speech. So Jesus make mention of what, "This is my blood for the new covenant." Very important. So Jesus brings in new covenant. And where do we, remember we say Jesus all the while he spoke from where? The Old Testament. So Jesus is explaining this event from one of the prophets, and it's only one prophet that used the word New Testament in the whole of Old Testament, and that is Jeremiah 31:31. "Say, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Remember, I've told us before now that the new covenant was before the old covenant. The old covenant came after the new covenant. So, when you hear new and old, don't think new and old in the aspect of after old is gone, new now came. No. The new covenant was before the old covenant. It is called old covenant because of what? The new covenant. What is the new covenant? The new covenant is about the Spirit. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Now, listen. Listen. What did we say Moses has been talking to them about from time?
Right.
We said it here this morning. Concerning what?
The promise.
The promise, which is what?
Life.
Which is what?
The Spirit. Yes.
Hallelujah. So, that is the new covenant. But when the new covenant is rejected,
When the new covenant is rejected, what did Moses then give them?
The old covenant.
So the old covenant is as a result of the rejection of the new covenant. Did you follow that?
Yes.
Eh? Did you get that? But is the new? Did you get that? Okay, let me use another very wonderful one. I like using this one. This works the magic. Let me tell you. Just to crack. Let's just bring that back our brain. Between Ishmael and Isaac, who first came? Between Ishmael and Isaac, who first came?
Ishmael
first came. Hallelujah. Listen, Ishmael first came, right? So, listen, who was promised?
Isaac,
right? Isaac was promised. Ishmael, is it the work of the flesh or by the spirit?
Flesh.
Work of the flesh. The promise was, is it the spirit?
Yes.
Is it the spirit?
Yes.
So Ishmael becomes the work of the flesh, right?
Yes.
Right? But Isaac is the promise, right?
Yes.
Aha, very simple. So Isaac was promised before Ishmael, but because of the works of the flesh, Ishmael came before Isaac. Simple. So the work of the flesh produced Ishmael before Isaac. So the reason for old covenant is because the new covenant was rejected. Men walked in the flesh. So the old covenant is after the new covenant. Very simple. Hallelujah.
Can we flow? Do you get that? Say, it is old covenant because all this old is going over.
Yeah. Oh, look at it. We see all those things, all those places of receipt.
Hallelujah. Because if there was no, listen, because it is, we've seen from the scripture that from Genesis 1, we saw that yesterday, that what God began to talk about from the beginning of time is heaven and earth in the same place, which is the new creation. From the beginning of time.
Yes.
Now, did you get that? From the beginning of time is the new creation that they have been spoken about. In Genesis 1:20, let us make one in our own image after like this, have let them have the children, say the better. Yeah, all those things. He's not talking about reproduction. How many children would Eve give birth to that will feel and multiply the earth? You got to give birth to 2 or 3 or 4. Or does he want to born the whole nation? No. So he was talking about Christ, that was made man in our image, the icon. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we saw that Christ is the express image. So God's plan for man was to be in the image of God, which is to be in Christ. So, in Christ, we will now have male and female created in them. And that is what Paul will now say, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the surface, I mean, the vessel of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the air. And all those, whatever, eat. What Jesus will explain in Matthew 28, go make disciples. So, you are filling the earth. Hallelujah. It's not giving birth and going through labor. No, we're talking about filling the earth with what? Christ-like people. Hallelujah. With Christ's seed. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So, right from the beginning, what is being spoken about is the new creation. It's the New Testament. Are you following me? Hallelujah. In chapter 2, he says, it's not good for the man to be alone. Some people have missed it all. When he made Adam, he said, it's not good for a man to be alone. He's talking about humanity to be alone. He's not talking about woman. He says, the flesh of my flesh, the bone of my bone. Stay there, let a man be calling you bone of your bone. You cannot be my daughter and a man be calling you bone of my bone and you are happy, you are smiling. Bone of which bone? He said, the two shall become one flesh. Are you people one flesh? Husband and wife, one flesh. They're not one flesh. Hallelujah. People are two. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he said it's not good for a man to be alone, what is he talking about? He's saying it's not good for a man to be without Christ. It's not a woman.
He said, you know, I cannot do without you. Stay there. You will never do without.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So sister, help your
I was done teaching one day in the university, and while I was done teaching, I thought about angels somehow, and I told them, you remember that message, the classes of angels?
That's my class.
Now, when I was done teaching that message, and I told them, as a lady, you are not an angel of anybody. Not an angel. How can a man come and meet and tell you an angel? You know that thing caused a big problem between a sister and
the boyfriend. Serious problem. The guy
that came
and I said, you know you're my angel.
I
said, please, I'm not your angel.
Sir, you don't have another. I said, I don't have another guy, but you're not my, I'm not your angel. You are insulting me. By saying I'm your angel.
Love that, you know.
It's a
sister.
And the brother said, you're my angel. And you're not feeling fly. As you are in the image of God. Hallelujah. And after that, you have to sing, I am a beautiful image and I am a wonderful image. Can we come back? Are we back? Okay. So, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be without Christ. So now, let's make for him a helpmeet. Helpmeet there is the word hazar. It's the word that implies one who rescues from danger. All through scripture, it was never used for a woman. It's only used for God. So, I will make for him a helpmeet. It's God. So don't, you know, as a brother, you begin to your lines, you begin to change it, adjust it with the word. Adjust it with the word. Hallelujah.
You can meet Pastor Wisdom. We are good in those things. We'll teach you the how it has changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So, the helpmeet will be Christ. Hallelujah. So when he said, shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jesus explained that. Paul explained that. Say, I speak, this is a great message, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Did you get that? When he spoke like that, he spoke. So meaning what Moses is writing about was concerning Christ and the church. Which father and mother did Adam leave? Are you reading your Bible well? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's continue. So we are in Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts, I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Where is he quoting from? Where is he prophesying from? He's prophesying for Moses, Deuteronomy. He's prophesying for Moses. Remember, we said Moses is the person whom every other prophet will write from.
they will write from. Jeremy, Moses is the archaic of scripture. He is the beginning of scriptures. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
So they will prophesy from Moses. So Moses will say, what I'm saying to you is not hard. He said, it is neither in your mouth and in your heart. Right? Hallelujah. So I will write it in their heart. It's prophesying from Moses.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Can we proceed? In Hebrews 8, verse 10 to 13, the writer of Hebrews will say, he said, verse 8 to 13. He said, but finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, said the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judea, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by hands and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. I have disregarded them, says the Lord. What is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord? I will put my laws in their minds and write this on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the writer of Hebrews affirms that in the New Testament, yet that there shall be no remembrance of sin. Verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. So meaning in the New Testament, there is no remembrance for sin. So Jesus was using Jeremiah to explain to them what he's saying. This is the new covenant in my blood. Did you get that? In my blood. There shall be no remembrance for sin. Does that bring to mind the unleavened bread? Remember, while they were in the camp, there was sin. But they ate the unleavened bread as a ordinance or as a symbol that there will be no sin in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Okay, I actually ran to the end to come back. So, I have given you the conclusion of the matter. So, they will be eating the unleavened bread in their sin. But the unleavened bread was to show that there is no sin. Because of what? The lamb that was slain. The leading out of Egypt. Did you get that? Are you following me? Glory to God. So, there was sin. But yet, because it is a symbol of Moses telling them what God will do in the New Testament. Did you get that? So they will be taking it as a symbol because of their unbelief. We'll see that shortly. Did you get that? Because of their unbelief. So Jesus will use the element of the Passover to explain his redemptive love work or his redemptive work. The elements are not the redemptive work. No. But he uses them to point to the redemptive work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that, Matthew 26:29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So when he said, I will not drink it with you, he is not drinking the halei, is used figuratively, I've said that earlier. Because the kingdom is in man. Right? The kingdom of God is in man. That is Luke. When Jesus said, I will not drink it, the halei, meaning I will not drink it with you. Remember, the halei means I will take you as a nation. Right? Now, he is teaching reality from symbols. He is teaching reality from symbols. Just like in John 2, where we have quoted 16 to 19, Jesus used the temple to illustrate what will happen, in that he will die, and all his teaching before Luke 24, he will teach in an illustrative manner. He will use figures most of the time to teach of what he will do. Hallelujah. So Jesus will teach in an illustrative manner. We use symbols.
He will use parables to point to what he will do. Hallelujah. So he will teach in an illustrative manner. So Jesus wasn't giving them new tasks to do, new symbols. Remember, they were having the Passover. So when Jesus now came in and brought in the started a teaching meeting, he wasn't trying to tell them this is what you start doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wasn't telling them this is what you start doing new. Jesus wasn't giving them a new symbol for them to start doing. No. Are you hearing me? He only explained what they had. Hallelujah. And how it pointed to him. So he was not giving them a new symbol. They already had those things before. They already had the Passover before then. But that he's using the symbols to teach the reality. So there's a reality of what he's teaching. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see that reality shortly of what he's teaching. So when he says, I will drink it with you, he is saying it that he will drink it with us in the kingdom. It means when the Passover is fulfilled, there will be a putting away of the symbol. Or he says, I will drink it with you in the kingdom. That means this thing will be fulfilled. Are you hearing me? And when he drinks it with us, those symbols will be taken away. So, the symbol or the Passover will be used figuratively to show what he was to accomplish, what Jesus was to accomplish. Look at Luke 22. This message, you have to still listen to it again, again, and again. It's not just being around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he took bread, verse 19. And he took bread, Luke 22, 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is on the table. I mean, that betrayed me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it is determined. But woe to the man to whom he is betrayed. That word remembrance, do this in remembrance of me, is the Greek word anamnesis. Man, it's not my language. A-N-A-M-N-A-E-S-I-S. Anamnesis. Try not to pronounce it as nemesis. A-N-A-M-N-E-S-I-S. Is the Hebrew translation of the word zakah, which is to bring to mind. So this, when I say do this in remembrance of me, meaning to bring something to mind. So Jesus wasn't asking them to continue the feast. When he said do this in remembrance of me, zakah comes to mind. Zakah, which is what? To bring to mind. So he's not telling you to keep doing it. Rather, he's saying, or what Jesus is explaining and putting attention on the fact that he is the fulfillment of the Passover feast. So he said, do this in remembrance of me. Not telling them continue doing it. Remember that word remembrance is to bring something to mind. And what are they bringing to mind? That he has fulfilled the Passover. There shall be no more sin in the camp. Glory to God. Though they took the unleavened bread, are you hearing me? Though they took the unleavened bread, and yet were in sin. But Jesus is saying he is the fulfillment of that. That shows you something.
He showed you that they are moving out of Egypt is symbolic. I'm going to the end to come back to it. They are moving out of Egypt was symbolic. They are eating of the unleavened bread is also symbolic. They are killing the Pascha is also symbolic. And they are all pointing to who? Christ. Are you hearing me?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, it is sufficient for us to now say that the Passover, that is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, was given to the Jews to teach them as a promissory note. Promise, right? As a promissory note of God's salvation from sin in the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Luke 22:20, it says, Luke 22:20 said, this is the new covenant which is shed for you, which is poured out for you. So it will happen upon the resurrection. So Jesus taught reality from the symbols. He taught reality from the symbols. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another thing to look at is the word remission. He used the word remission. Remission is the word aphesis. It implies to take away completely. So Jesus is saying that the Passover feast was pointing to him because their moving out of Egypt is symbolic. We're going to see that from Stephen, Acts of Apostles chapter 7 verse 39. Acts 7:39. Let's quickly rush to Acts 7:39. Look at what Stephen said. He says, to whom our fathers would not obey. To whom our fathers would not obey, but trust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt. You see that? So God led them out of Egypt, but in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. What is Stephen saying? Stephen is saying, though they left Egypt, yet it was still on their minds. So they are leaving Egypt to be symbolic, as Egypt will signify the world. Egypt will signify the world. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Did you get that? How did he do that? Say, in the light. He just translated us from the kingdom of darkness. Glory to God. So that departure from Egypt will symbolize moving from the flesh to the spirit, from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Did you get that? So moving out of Egypt would be a symbol of from the flesh to the spirit. Hallelujah. From darkness to light, kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, did you see that? Because Egypt was still in their heart. So, most of what they have, or most of what they will have as symbols, will point to Christ's redemption work. And Jesus will help us see that. John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures. He says, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. Meaning the scriptures, when you get to the scripture testifies of Christ. You will see the symbols, you will see the practices, you will see the ordinances, but it says they testify of me. Verse 46. It says, verse 45. It says, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. It says, there is one who accuses you. It says, Moses, in whom you trust. It says, have you believed Moses? You will have believed me. It says, for he wrote of me. So meaning what Moses will be writing about will be the reality of Christ.
Are you following me? Will be the reality of the new creation.
Christ. So the scripture testify of me. So what Jesus will be doing is he is explaining himself. All the elements of the Passover was explained in the person of Christ Jesus. That is, Jesus is saying that the Passover pointed to him. Hallelujah. Paul will put it this way, 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7. Say, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ our Passover. Did you see that? So Paul also said the Passover points to Christ. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 22, Luke 22 verse 44. He says to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things will be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. See, all things must be fulfilled. That word fulfilled is the Greek word plero. I guess I'm a bit too fast. That word fulfilled is the Greek word plero. Plero means implies to get to the end, to meet an obligation. To get to the end, to meet an obligation. Thus, it is correct to say that the Passover first ended, or the Passover feast ended with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, because it was fulfilled
by Christ. Hallelujah.
All things must indeed be fulfilled. Plero. To get to an end. Do you understand me? So meaning Passover was part of it and he fulfilled it, took it to an end. Hallelujah. The symbols, the practice got to an end by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at what the writer of Hebrews will say concerning that. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Say, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of an ephah, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spots to God, forge your conscience from dead work to serve the living God? For this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption and of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Chapter 10, verse 12. Look at chapter 10, verse 12. It says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by the offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the feast. Why was the Passover feast given?
Remember, we said it to put to remembrance, right? Right? So yes, now they will have a remembrance of God leading them out of the land of Egypt, right? But let's now see really, let's expand that narrative. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That was a preamble. Now we are going to intermediate. Hallelujah.
So why was it now given?
The feast of the Passover was given, or the feast of the Passover was symbolic, and the symbol of the Passover was given because they rejected the promise of God.
That feast was given because they rejected the promise of God. Exodus 6, where we read earlier on.
We'll now read from verse 6 to 9. He said, Wherefore I said to the children of Israel, now this is God's message to the children of Israel, I am the Lord I am the Lord. I will bring you out from the bodies of the Egyptians, right? Kilush, I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. I will take you for a people alay, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land concerning the which I swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and cruel of bondage. They did not obey. They hearkened not. They did not believe. Did you see that? So because of the fact that they did not believe, what did Moses now do? Now give them the what?
The law.
Or no? Now give them the symbols. Matthew 19:4. Matthew 19:4. Jesus helps us see something about the background of Moses. Why Moses wrote the way he wrote. Matthew 19:4. And this will come alive at the conclusion of this teaching. So make sure you take note of what I'm saying now. Matthew 19:4. And he answered and said to them, have you not read? They came to meet and asked him, shall a man divorce his wife for any cause? And he said, have you not read? He who made them at the beginning made them male and female. And he said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jesus is not teaching marriage in the church or marriage in the mosque or marriage in the registry. No, he's teaching man and God. He said, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. God does not join man and woman. God joins himself and joins man to himself. Hallelujah. And they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? And Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness, sclerocardia, hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. So Moses would give them the symbols because of the hardness of their heart. Unbelief. Do you see that? Unbelief. So they did not believe the word of the Lord through Moses, and the promise was concerning Christ. So when he said, I'll bring you out, I'll do this, it's concerning Christ. I'll do it in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whereas, what should have been their response? Their response should have been like that of Abraham in Matthew 15:6. Abraham believed God. Hallelujah. So Moses giving them the symbol of Passover and unleavened bread was symbolic of the fact that Jesus would die to stop sin. So did you see why Moses gave it to them? The Passover. Jesus will die to stop sin. And there will be no sin amongst the people. So their rejection is what Jesus called hardness of heart. From what we've read. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll give